lean more life back. All right, what do you want me to do? More state ownership? Like, gotcha, cuz. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, yo. Episode 59.
What was that?
We're episode 59.
We are 59.
I just said yo.
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 Anyways, this is a music podcast.
This is Audio Face, the music podcast.
The music podcast? Are we that egocentric now?
Might as well be. Everyone else is.
Fuck it. Why not? The music podcast, where everyone gets their essential music news, culture 2, and all the bullshit.
Album reviews.
So we got some music today. We've got Travis Scott.
Astroworld.
We got Rez, Certain Kind of Magic. Got Mac Miller's new album. Got our new segment, So You Don't Have To.
Yes, we're launching a new segment. Usually we would wait till episode 60, because like,
we did it last week, too.
Well, that was like a informal, but you know, it's a real thing now. I think we really liked it. This is a segment called So You Don't Have To, in which we listen to an album, so you don't have to.
Which basically means Dan listens to it more, because I usually kill myself before it, so.
Yeah, so,
I can say that because it was directed towards me.
There's a line.
There's a line. I found the line. Pay up.
Barely. But like, we also have some news. EA got themselves in a little bit of trouble this week. Everyone loves EA. What?
Why didn't you go the single first?
No, I'm just doing an overview.
Okay, overview.
There's some news about the best selling album, like the most popular album of the summer, didn't sell at all.
Yep.
There's an interesting thing about that, that I want to go into, about streaming and stuff like that.
Revenue, money.
Industry shit. But what we're going to start with is the bread and butter, new singles of the week, which we haven't done in a while, but we're doing it.
Okay. My laptop was tripping balls.
Spotify's just having fun.
Yeah.
Right. But we listened to Home by John Butler Trio. They're an artist that are like a trio that I really liked a lot. They do this like kind of rock, funk, soul thing that's very...
It's different.
Yeah, when they perform live, it's bare bones, I guess. But mm-hmm. Home is their latest single, and I think they'll be releasing a new album at some point. The last one came out in 2014, and I really liked it. It's really good because it's
different. I've never heard of them before, and then it's this weird mix of rock funk with electronic mixed into it, just this weird aura. It's cool. It's like when we did the internet 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
something like that, but not as funky.
Yeah, not as funky. And the electronic is definitely new for John Butler Trio.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Because they're usually a lot more like more rock focused, but they it's a trio, and so sometimes they'll bring in different instruments to kind of like have fun and go together. And
then try new shit.
Yeah, and then in productions is a little more intense, but you know, it's everything I like to see from music. You're evolving your sound, you're playing and trying some new different things, and you're trying to sound a little bit different, which is the greatest. I'm gonna put another link in there for the next story.
By the way, I love that you put an NPR thing on there.
Your boy.
I got my boys.
I included the update to that story. But gotcha. The big music news this week, besides the music that came out, was the fact that on the latest Madden game,
waiting for the next Madden to come out.
American football, we all know that. So
bullshit.
There's, of course, all Madden games are soundtracked. On this soundtrack, it's, you know, what latest music from the previous year. YG's song Big Bank, which goes quiet for a verse. Specifically the verse that YG originally recorded as, "You boys all cap, I'm more Colin Kaepernick." The NFL and Colin Kaepernick are at a bit of odds with each other lately, let's say. There's a whole like kneeling for the anthem controversy that's been around everywhere. We're not going to get too political into that, but EA has kind of
Electronic Arts,
the video game company, they've sort of apologized for this. They're saying it's
with EA goes back years.
What, Sean, as a gamer, and like honestly anyone who's ever played video games hates EA, but like
I hate EA with a burning passion. You have no idea.
What are some of your greatest hits of Electronic Arts?
Well, first off, pay to win. All of the microtransactions that they do.
Right.
And the fact that your servers are shit. Oh my god, how many times have you gotten into a match lobby and then you're like, quit?
Yeah,
Or it lags out, or whatever. It's the history of EA games. They always make the wrong decisions. Battlefront was a disaster.
Yeah.
And Battlefront 2 was kind of lackluster in the same way, and it just... every decision they make is the wrong one. And now they're fucking up even more. We made an unfortunate mistake, is what they say.
EA's statement their says that statement. Members of our team misunderstood the fact that while we don't have the rights to include Colin Kaepernick in the game, this doesn't affect soundtracks. Which is, like, the best defense you can make. Maybe it was an error or so, but it doesn't... The reason why I'm less likely to believe this is because when you take it outside of this one little instance, there's an ongoing history of the NFL trying to downplay Colin Kaepernick's existence.
Yeah.
And the protests he's doing, the surrounding around that, they think... And if, the NFL just thinks it's too controversial to really attack and deal with. So they
just said no and... chuck him out of everything that they can.
Yeah. If you're wondering YG, who we'll be talking about his album Stay Dangerous in a little bit, but if you want to know what YG has to say about this, quoting, he told TMZ that the CEO just called me like 3 hours ago, whenever he told him. We had the conversation on the phone. They was apologizing. They said they were going to do more to call everybody and apologize or all that. This wasn't purposely done, is what they say, but I'm a fan of the NFL, NBA, and all that, so we just gotta make it right. So he seems very reconciliatory because, I mean, he's getting paid for this. He's getting a lot of royalties, I'm sure. He also says, I'm not boycotting Madden on Blood. I got it in my car right now. I'm about to go play that shit. They put bro's name back in the song in the game, so it's all good. So apparently if they're going to update the game by just putting it back in.
Oh, they put it back in, then fine?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but just a very... It's a very inopportune kind of thing to happen, right? And you need to be a lot more careful when the NFL is blackballing Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
Absolutely. And shutting him out for expressing himself politically, which people do in sports all the time, but this is not a sports show.
It's not a sports show. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
Because then I'm going to be talking about Mesut Ozil and the German national football team, and then I get banned from my own podcast. So.
But let's veer into the center divider of politics for just a couple more seconds. Because...
Oh, shit. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Alex Jones, who's a well-known, like, political... I'm fixing your mic. I'm restarting this. But Alex Jones is, like, a well-known political...
Conspiracy theorist.
Conservative, right-leaning, like, talking head. Says, like, literally the craziest shit online possible. I guarantee, and we'll take that to the bank. He's recently gotten in some trouble with some of the content he's posted on YouTube and Facebook. He's got two strikes on YouTube. Facebook deactivated Alex Jones' personal Facebook page. So not like Alex Jones' official Facebook page or InfoWars' official Facebook page. But his profile he can't log into anymore.
That's fucking hilarious.
Which is like the softest slap on the wrist from Zuckerberg, who says that, oh, people who deny the Holocaust, they're just misinformed. Whatever, Zuckerberg. Anyways, so Alex Jones, his podcast was put on Spotify. Which, it's very hard to get your podcast on Spotify. By the way, Audioface is on Spotify. I'm not saying anything, just saying. But it's not like an easy approval process. Because with most podcasts, you literally, the reason why it's so easy to start one is that like you just upload it and then you're done, right? But for other platforms, Spotify has a closed distribution process and you have to go through a couple other hoops to do that. But they put Alex Jones on there. And you know, Alex Jones is, I mean, Spotify's had this content policy that they've been wishy-washy on. We called it out earlier this year when I called Spotify CEO Daniel Ek noted little bitch because of...
he is up there in the no little bitch award race.
Because he bent to Kendrick Lamar's coming to the defense of the late and not so great XXXTentacion and the sadly still alive R. Kelly. And I really should stop. But Spotify really like... went on the defensive when that happened. And they tried to avoid any sort of controversy in that. But they deleted certain episodes of Alex Jones's podcast that have to do with things just egregiously violate the policy. So for YouTube, it was child endangerment and harassment, which is like, I mean, you can get broad with that. But Stitcher went even further and they took the entire podcast off of...
They just fucked that shit and took it off.
And so you're getting into this interesting conversation, which I'm going to try to address a little bit on No Filter on the TYT network, haha. But it's this idea around how do tech companies decide what content goes on their platform? And how do we decide if those decisions are good or not? And I don't know if we can't really get into that here per se, but I mean.
Because then it gets political and hashtag no politics.
Yes,
we should bring that back.
How about more broadly? Because this has touched music before in a kind of non-political way with R. Kelly and XXXTentacion.
It's censorship in general.
Right. Do you see it as... So, by that framing, it sounds like you're against it, generally.
Yes and no, because I believe in free speech, and if you... It's hard when it's... If it's a private company.
Right.
Like Stitcher.
So Spotify. How do you think private companies should handle it? I mean, it's kind of... Do you think it's kind of to the discretion as private companies, but...
It is in a way.
It absolutely is, but how would... Okay,
if I owned a company, I wouldn't care, per se, because I'm like, okay, if that's what your thing is, people can listen to your opinion, and if you don't agree with it, then just fine, then talk to them about policy. This is getting into more of the political side of it, but this is my thoughts on it. And that's if I owned my own streaming service. I would put anybody and anyone on, because just because someone is crazy conspiracy theory on one thing, what if I like a conspiracy theory, quote unquote, on the other side, and they start labeling it as a conspiracy theory or whatever, or as craziness like Alex Jones, and they cut it. Right. Say something that I agree with what Tarek Ali says. People might label it as conspiracy theory, saying some shit, and they unlabel him too.
Right.
They black flag him. So now it's a whole thing of, okay, if that's one sign of censorship, then where is the line? And is it going to start crossing into where people are right, like generally right, but then because of all these other smear campaigns of other bullshit people, then they get smeared in the wrong way.
Right. I think...
So there's this awkward fine line of censorship that we're trying to find. With music, it's one thing of, to me, it's okay, if you rape somebody and it's pretty obvious and stuff, like R. Kelly sex cult shit.
Right.
Okay, that's the line. Cut that shit out. That makes sense. Other things of accusing people, like it's hard when it's a political podcast, like Alex Jones. If you're going to have his stuff up on your platform, then you then... you should have other people's podcasts
things up.
Up.
So you should have up. Equivalent like, things from
equivalent.
The left.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think most of these platforms are okay at that. It gets to... This is such a huge conversation. I'm going to like cut it off here.
I know, cause because it's like, going to keep going
It gets
on.
Into how you do distribution. Where yeah, on yeah. Spotify, the concerns over exposing people to like just bad speech, and by bad is defined by it's... proclaiming to be news when it's really just a lot of conspiracy theories and fiction. It's easily provable. The host behind it might be like harassers, like that kind of thing. We can just assume it's carte blanche bad regardless of ideology. Spotify doesn't put that in your face so much per se, whereas Facebook does. Facebook is a platform that the content finds you. Spotify is a platform where you find the content.
Exactly.
And so I think that's just one of the little nuances you have to have when having this larger argument, but this is not that podcast. What this is a podcast about is about music. And we're going to be talking about probably the biggest release of this week, which is Travis Scott's Astroworld. But first, you know,
thank you.
Sup?
Hi, baby.
Hey, baby, how's it going? It's a beautiful part of the podcast while moving Sean's mic, but let's go.
Again.
Let's go into
Astroworld.
Astroworld.
Oh, Lord Jesus, help me.
This is a 17-song, 58-minute bonanza.
Hey, he kept it under an hour.
Let's talk about this mix, and then this will lead into the rest of our thoughts of the song, because it's under an hour, but 17 songs is a little bit more than I would suspect. But 17 songs is a nice middle ground between the insanity of most trap albums that have come
which
this
are like
year,
52 songs
versus, you know, a more traditional album. So I think if you're trying to have the best of both worlds, and I purely just on paper spec kind of thing for this album, it's not bad. But we can go into how we think about it. Do you want to start or me? I don't care.
This album's rough. Holy shit. This is really bad. I know Travis Scott's thing is autotune. And I will never like autotune in my life. Why are we still doing it? It's fucking 2018, not 2008 T-Pain app. Bullshit.
We were making fun of autotune back, like Jay-Z made his song, Death of Autotune, back then, because he was like, oh, this is all so ridiculous.
What was that?
This was 2009. 10 years later, like autotune straight isn't dead.
Oh my God. I might have heard the single worst song of 2018. Unfortunately, our boy 21 Savage is on it, but it's not his part that's bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of features in this album, and I'll go through on that later, because when you look at the track list, which actually I think was kind of cool, because a lot of artists love to release their albums and then flaunt the features. And this album has a lot of features, but they aren't really, they're not in the title tracks. You can't really find it. It's just everything's in all caps and it's there.
Spell the man name. So NC17 might be the single worst song I've heard in 2018.
Ooh.
It is god awful. This weird auto-tune noise. I don't even want to call it a sound. It's a noise. In the background of the song, and it's just, that's when I quit the album at NC17, song 10.
Oh, that's a shame.
I stop. I can't listen to this. This is so unbelievably bad. I quit like halfway through NC17, not realizing then 21 Savage has a part on it, and I go, shit. So then I listen to the song again, and I go, okay, I'm gonna have to sit here and wait 2 minutes.
Because it's at the very end.
And
which happens
end,
a lot with this album.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say that. And then 21's part is kind of funny, because he says, I'm so rich, I sit and rent my dogs now.
Yeah, like imagine putting, and we'll allow this from 21 Savage, because at the same time he's also going out there and saying, look, I'm not gonna like flaunt my change so heavy anymore. I'm gonna talk about people actually making like long-term investments that will get them out of poverty in the kind of way that I glorify in my music, which is pretty woke, which is why I'm wearing the 21 Savage jersey right now. John's got his Vince Staples.
Reppin' Long Beach.
We'll have to do like a bonus video clip just for YouTube where we're just talking about these jerseys. Because it's not going to work on podcast.
No.
And
it has to be YouTube.
Yeah, they're nice.
We're going to do that.
But with Travis Scott, NC17, if I pull up that, yeah, that's just featuring 21 Savage. And like most trap albums, there's different producers who come in here and there. But I think the selection of features is stronger than most trap albums I've heard, because it goes outside of the genre in little bits. I mean, unfortunately, there's a song called Who What that has Quavo and Takeoff on it, which I, of course, wanted. Everyone wants that. No.
We hate Migos.
Sicko Mode, which is an interesting song, and then Drake ruins it.
Drake does ruin it.
Like, here, you know what I really wanted? Another Drake song this summer. I really wanted another Drake song. I didn't know Drake was doing it. Is Drake doing any new shit? I don't know.
Are Migos doing, is Quavo doing new shit?
I hope not. But the only new shit he's doing is his, no, that's Offset. I forget which one.
Offset, we mean.
Which one married Cardi B, yeah. Frank Ocean is in the second song, which that was a good choice.
Carousel?
Yeah, for Carousel.
Also, stop putting caps for all your fucking titles. Just stop. Fucking stop.
Of everything that's on here, that's the part of the album that least bothers me. But if I'll get into the... So, what I dislike about this album. At its worst, it's just like trap over and over again. And
with
not,
auto-tune.
Yeah. With more auto-tune than, honestly, a Migos ad-lib, which made the Migos song super great. At its best, this album is kind of playing with sound, in the sense that you have a lot of songs like Stargazing, Sicko Mode, which I really would have loved if it were anyone else but Drake, Carousel. Like, there are these songs that have parts in the beginning, and then they totally do, like, a switch in the middle, and it turns into a totally different beat. And those beats that come in the middle and in the end, I think are the most like nuanced and kind of pushing things forward. But that's going to suck to someone who's like the average listener, who either goes, hey, that's confusing that the song just switched out halfway through, or they don't even get to that because there's so much at the surface of this album that, for better or worse, is very akin to how trap usually goes.
Yes.
That you just kind of forget about it. But there's two songs on here featuring The Weeknd. It's also a little bit more Weeknd than I wanted. I could have gone with one.
And they weren't that good either.
I think the two best songs on here are Astro Thunder, because Thundercat produces on that. Mm-hmm. And that just fundamentally, it just has, you pay attention to the bass of the song and it just has more range. Usually most trap songs stay in the same three low bass notes or whatever.
Yep.
But because it's Thundercat producing it, there's like range, there's style. And I go, oh wait, this is almost that thing I'm looking for of pushing trap in some direction that isn't just re-releasing the same thing. Butterfly Effect is really catchy. That was the single that came out.
Yeah.
That was the single that came out a while ago.
Ironically, like, the only song on there that's not explicit too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Naturally, because that's the lead single.
Yeah, and so you want to be played by the radio.
Yeah. It's also ridiculous. There's also a little bit of controversy regarding the cover.
Controversy,
yes. The cover of Astroworld. So the other cover was a lot more explicit, featured a lot of like...
There we go.
You know, the huge, scantily clad women's all over the cover and shit. But on the final version, they removed one person off of there, and it was a transgender model. And so there was controversy like, oh, were they removed for being transgender or whatever? But apparently Travis Scott says, like, no disrespect, but in the actual photo, like, she just took over the entire thing. Hmm. Which you can kind of tell in, like, the... I don't know what version Spotify has there, but there's this version of the cover, and she's right there, versus this version of the cover, gone.
That's so...
And then that's an entirely different version of the cover, which I think may be more, like, kid-friend, or, like, album shelf-friendly, because it's kind of just, like, some kids playing around on the, like, on a theme park thing with Travis Scott's head walking into his mouth with these, like, lights coming out of it, which is a great thing to describe on a podcast.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones. Yeah, there's this one, too.
Yeah. And there are a lot of takes about the album cover, but if the album cover is what you're talking about with this album, you're really missing out on a lot of it. So
you're not missing out on a lot of it. Don't listen to it. Actually, it's not as bad as another album we're going to review.
There are many trap albums that have come out this year, and there are many of them.
This is not the worst one.
This is not the
worst. But it has the worst song.
This is not the worst. It doesn't even have the worst song.
We'll talk about...
We'll get there in literally just a moment. We need to... I'm going to finish my last thought. We're going to review this, and then we're going to go into the next segment really fast. But it tries to do more differently than most trap songs that, like, or trap albums that end up coming out. So I will give it that, and I'll absolutely recognize it for that. But, I mean, I've heard good trap albums that do things a little bit differently, and it still isn't that much. Every time I try to say a trap album is good because it does something differently, that bar for doing something different is so minor and detailed that, like, no one other than me who obsesses over this stuff is really going to notice it.
Nope.
And that sucks, because that means, like, the genre is completely stagnant. Like,
I've
totally.
Been saying that for the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. Today's ranking system, we're going to be choosing airship accidents.
Fucking shit.
So on Wikipedia right now, I have a list of airship injuries. Most of these are like by blimp, by the way.
Well, you said airship. Airship is blimp.
Yeah. I'm going to rank them by deaths.
Do you want plane or airship?
Airship accidents. On Wikipedia. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm going to pop up the same thing.
And then you want to sort it by deaths right there.
Oh, fuck.
One more time. I'm going to click it. There you go. All right.
So
I'm going to rank this album. Shenandoah. It was a U.S. Navy blimp that 14 died, 29 survived in 1925. So that was a good year. What I mean by all of that in ranking the album, using our arbitrary ranking system, because our album rankings mean nothing, you should really listen to the subjective opinions that we are putting forth about the albums, because that's more important than any ranking system. But the reason I say that is because, again, it's not the worst disaster. But 14 killed is still a disaster.
I'm saying this is... they don't have a name. But Zeppelin LZ-104.
All right. From 7th of April, 1918, near the end of First World War.
Explodes over Malta for reasons unknown, killing 21.
Yeah. 21.
That's why I picked it, because of 21.
Killing 21.
That's literally why I'm like, is there one that has 21? Yes, 21 deaths.
You can angle that into saying that 21 was pushed to the very end of one part of the album. By that point, you would have stopped listening.
And I did listen. I stopped listening at the end of it. So there you go.
I think the best songs in here to listen to.
I don't give a fuck.
Stop Trying to Be God, Astro Thunder, and Butterfly Effect. Everything else out of here, I'm probably gonna forget really quickly. But
I'm not even gonna say that. So
we listen to YG, so you don't have to.
By listen, for me, I say listen.
Yeah. And so I wanted to bring up so YG released an album.
Holy fuck.
This week as well. We're not going to go into a super in-depth review because we really can't. It's 15 songs long, 50 minutes long. So less of an album, technically, in both like songs and time. Because I was going to say Astroworld has way too much filler in it. there are three or four songs I could have cut. And again, after you cut those songs, you still have a bunch of songs that are like, these aren't all great and memorable, whatever. But this is just a whole new level of bad. First of all the tiles are in caps, just like you like them, Sean.
Second of all, I lasted 15 seconds into the first song before I wanted to gouge my ears out. Holy shit, talk about a bad album.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So YG's last album was like notably more political because that's the one that Fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This one he tries to go, oh, I'm going to appeal more to the streets.
Fuck out of here.
I also want to point out, because I'm just going to start naming names, Uproxx, which is just like the most generic, like sponsored content website ever because they just suck up to any artist or any brand they whatsoever that gives them a little bit of money. Their reaction to this album was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Which is a basically way of saying, don't change anything. Which is not what you want to encourage artists to do. You're just saying that to say like, oh, well, if it ain't broke, by the way, YG wasn't like a star-studded artist.
He really isn't.
Like, he's okay. And I mean, like, the very bottom level of okay before I say you're garbage. Like, he's not great, really. But this album tries to mix like street with hyphy in a way that just sounds like a mess.
It is a mess.
Yeah. And it just like makes no sense for your ears. There's just shit in here that's ridiculous.
If on your first track you literally call the police the popo and you want me to take you seriously, get the fuck out of here.
I mean, you can do that, but in a lot of, I think that's a minor like way of attacking it. But like you can do what he was trying to do a lot better, very easily.
It was stupid. Then there's a song on there that sounded literally like J. Cole.
Yeah. So. Can't Get in Canada.
Canada, yes.
Canada spelled with a K, because, you know. It literally sounds like ATM.
Yeah.
Off of Kids on Drugs by J. Cole, his album from earlier this year. Like, very remarkably similar. I might, like, edit in bits.
It's literally the same.
Why,
and,
like,
hey, J. Cole, if you don't want to get on the Not a Little Bitch shortlist, go sue him.
Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Can't take it when you die, but you can't live without it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Hit it from the back, pussy man it up. Tat it up, tat it up, tat it up. Can't none of my niggas getting counted up. No. Bet it up, bet it up, bet it up. Tell him it's a go, nigga, set it up.
Do something. Sue him or start, because you know, 2018 rap beef again. Go by, open up your door, get a little ooze, go.
J. Cole is not the rap beef guy.
I don't know. J. Cole is, that's why he's on the shortlist of No Little Bitch.
Jermaine Cole, I mean, like, he was seen as like the almost Drake kind of sensitivity feelings rapper, not like one of those like hard in the streets kind of guys.
Yeah.
But like,
but he straight stole your song, so you gotta do something about that. What if you have a woman who's like in love with you, bears your child and stuff, and a dude comes by, swoops in, and steals her? What are you gonna do?
The story of Adidon. But that is. So, I'll have one more quote before we kind of move on. You don't have to listen to this album, trust me. When I'm gonna rank it, it's not worth it.
Please.
If we were to rank it, it'd be like the Hindenburg, easily. But like, Rolling Stone did an interview with YG, and he was talking about making his album No Politics. I wanted to see if this is a quote that you could glean something from, or like, see if you understand it. He says, the politics shit work. If you really like an artist and that's what you're about, if I come out with some politics shit, my shit ain't gonna be top of the charts because I might be talking crazy. I'm gonna start saying crazy shit. They're gonna ban the record and all the type of shit. My shit ain't gonna go to the top of the charts because I'd be talking greasy. I ain't talking nice, but I ain't putting the radio before me and I ain't doing that. But when it comes to the club records and street shit, I can do that for sure. So he's basically saying that, like, I'm gonna do the street thing because that's going to sell more records, because if I went into politics, I'd go too hard. Which is a sentiment that kind of sounds like it's coming from you. Because like, you're like, oh no, if I did this, I'd go too hard. So do you buy this line of thinking? I personally don't.
No, because his album was shit.
Yeah.
If you made an actual good album, fine.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You called the police a popo and you want me to take you seriously, fuck out of here. Because the way he says it too.
Oh, okay, maybe it's because
it's like, the context of the song out of nowhere and it's just, it's stupid.
Oh, I remember exactly what you're talking about.
He goes, yeah, and the popo, or something, literally something that middle schoolers make fun of in white neighborhoods.
Sounds hard to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
That fucking little blondie who lives in Belmont Shore says, what the fuck do you want?
Jesus. We're going to take a quick break, and then after that, we'll be back with Rez, Mac Miller.
Rez.
No, interesting industry shit.
Rez with two Zs.
And we're back with more news. That was a fun break.
News!
Break. We have a story about...
$1 million news. News.
Jesus Christ. We have a little bit of story that's... We have a little bit of story. Last year, there was a really tragic shooting at a country music festival.
Route 91.
Yeah, where a, like, Las Vegas gunman, like, that was the thing. He shot from the top of the Mandalay Bay Casino, just, like, loaded to the gills.
Fuck people and so up.
They've since been doing an investigation and tried to figure out, like, you know, what happened? What were the motives? And about a year out, they've closed the investigation. They can't really find a motive. They know that he became distant before the rampage, which, like, kind of happens with all these people, I guess. But he spent $1.5 million right before his death. And just, like, became increasingly more unstable and obsessed with guns over time. So it's just like, this is all of, they're not really going to be answers because this is the kind of country where you can really do this again if you wanted to. But these are the closest thing to kind of like understanding around the issues that we're going to be getting for it, I guess. So, I mean, there's that. But it was just one of the most tragic things as anyone who's like, anyone who loves country music, anyone who loves regular music, anyone who likes going to
just going to fucking festivals in general. Yeah.
Because anyone can see that and go like, oh wow, I know what that experience is like, and I can almost put myself there. But it's sad. But let's get to something happy. Let's get to general happy news. There's an 11-year-old named Aliyah. I'm just gonna go with Aliyah because that's more pleasurable for me to say. this is an 11-year-old Aliyah High became the youngest female rapper to sign with a record label.
What the fuck?
And here she is, this 11-year-old girl, just
Empire.
Like doing the Saw Dude like Shaka Bra thing at like, Empire Records.
I wouldn't want to fuck with her.
And I can't hate on this at all. I haven't heard a single song she's made. She can't be any worse than a SoundCloud rapper. She does freestyles on Instagram. I don't give a fuck, dude. I mean, this is not the most ridiculous.
Make more money than Lil Pump and 6ix9ine, please. That's all I want in life now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard, but make more money than them and be better than musically.
Which is really not that hard.
Really not that hard. I think you could do well. But I'm going to look out for that. Maybe bring that to the Audio Face Awards.
I'm down.
We don't get to talk about electronic music that much. I try, but...
Well, we do get to talk about it, but not album release.
Yeah, not album releases. And we talked about this before on older episodes of Audio Face that people should go back and listen to because they're decent.
Yeah, okay.
But, electronic music artists oftentimes don't release albums.
And it's mixtapes.
It's mixtapes. A lot of times they're using other people's songs. That makes it really hard to distribute without getting sued
immediately. So it's just a SoundCloud usually mixes.
So when it happens, it's great. It's kind of like this, which was Rez's Certain Kind of Magic. Rez, I did an early music recommendations episode, super early in Audio Face. We covered her album or like EP that came out last year, Mass Manipulation. That was also pretty good. But Certain Kind of Magic has come out this year. It's 8 songs, 27 minutes long, and I fucking love it.
It's good. So everyone who listens to this podcast, they know my...
Sean's got Warpaths.
I got Warpaths, EDM, and hypey-typey bullshit, as I call it. And when I was listening to this, I realized Rez is the line. You can't go above Rez and not be hypey-typey bullshit. She is the line of good EDM.
Hypey typey bullshit for the people listening, not like hyphy music, but that kind of EDM, not like that kind of EDM where it's all building up to have a drop and then that's the entire song.
That's like every song that artist does is just that over and over and over and over and over and over again for like 16 hours.
Three different variations of that like bliss point build up drop kind of scenario.
Because she has that in her songs, but the drops aren't stereotypical ones. They're a little bit deeper and more... Like growly is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And then she dropped a song called Life and Death, the 4th song. And holy shit, that's a good song. It doesn't have a drop. It's just, if Deadmau5 got super fucking emo, that's what that song would sounds like.
I really honestly like...
The whole, like, in the whole album, top to bottom, I like generally. So I was, I know we were like hyping up Perez for a minute, and I go, okay, let's make sure that it's not shit. So I listened to the first song, I'm like, ooh, okay, this is either gonna be really good or really bad, and luckily it went really good.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Rez has that kind of versatility in which she can appeal enough to the crowd of EDM that really likes the hypey-typey stuff, and yes. She can also push things a little bit forward. I think the fact that most of her songs are like way slower BPM than most EDM, and that would usually be a knock against me because I love the faster stuff, but she can still pack energy and pace and like excitement into that, again, while avoiding this kind of super typical build-up, drop kind of back and forth that's just so inundating and annoying with music lately. It's 8 songs. If anything, my complaint is that it's a little too short. I could have done with 1 or 2 more songs, but like that's what you get in electronic music, and I would much rather say an album is too short than an album is too long, because you get that all the time, and that's not good for you. That only hurts you. But like, I'm slowly trying to build a playlist that's like good electronic music in much the kind of way I've tried to build a playlist of good trap music. And I could put all 8 of these songs on there and not have a problem. Well, I would have a problem with myself just on principle, but like all 8 of these songs are very good electronic music songs. Some of the best electronic music songs of this year. Mm. To me, the ones that show that range, that kind of pushing the genre out there, doing something different and new. I mean, like, only 1 song does that kind of EDM, I'm going to sing and then do a chorus thing for it. And that's the song at the
end.
That's
the
and
last song.
It's still
song,
really good.
Toxin. That's what, and that, none of her things have that super vocal bullshit. That was the only one that did.
But yeah.
The rest of EDM, all they sound the fucking same. There's very few DJs that don't sound the same. That's why I like Scream so much.
Yeah.
Because, well, he started dubstep and then went to house. So that's why he has a wide range. But Rez has her own very distinct sound. And it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that kind of sound flourish. And it's definitely different. I liked this Mass Manipulation. I didn't like as much, but I still thought it was pretty good, especially compared to a lot of other EDM that came out. But Certain Kind of Magic, which is the newest one, Mass Manipulation was last year's, so strong. She's growing as a musician. She's getting better. She's doing she's pushing the boundaries. It's everything
she's
I
the
want.
Line.
Yeah. And even for you, it passes your test. So.
And I'm a.
Like an
electronic music absolutionist.
Yes.
Best way to put it. So I'm going to go. Where is it? Shit. I just had it.
I've got one. And you can find it.
Go.
I'm going with the Helistat 97-34J, which was a retired in-class blimp that only killed 1 person in a test flight. So, you know, they're doing something different. Minor injuries. I can't really say what this, like, 1 person killed would be. But, you know, it's pretty good.
See.
I
want to go very saucy, but I might.
We're making a ranking system for music podcast about people who died in blimp accidents. So I don't know how you could make this offensive, Sean.
Because there's a Navy blimp fuel tanks explode over Santa Ana in 1945.
Okay, that's how you do the Maduro assassination right.
Damn it! That's literally what I was about to say! Literally, I was going to say, well, if you want to take some ideas from the Orange County plastics, just take a blimp over someone and assassinate them and explode their tanks. That one killed 8, but that's just more for Talol's. Her album's more like Kill 2 People.
Killing 8 people for Talol's.
For Talol's.
Jesus, but no, this is...
This is what this podcast has done to me.
This podcast is way before that.
Fuck!
You gotta stop doing that. This is an album I'm definitely going to come back to near the end of the year because it's got like a lot of. It's really good. I'm definitely going to be coming back to it during year end reviews.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about money a little bit.
By the way, look what happens before the drugs hit and all the face tattoos.
Is that really Post Malone?
That's Post Malone.
I don't know if he looks better or worse now, honestly.
He looks so much, because he has fucking Stay Tired, or Always Tired on his eyeball or some shit.
That's how I feel listening to his droney music, whatever. Anyways, Universal and Sony are turning over more than $500,000 every hour from streaming.
Holy shit.
So imagine making $500,000 in an hour. Like, or like, yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo makes like $3,000 every second or some shit like that.
So yeah.
That's $3,000. What?
And so, like, Universal and Sony, I'm reading from Music Business Worldwide.
Oops, close to it.
Universal and Sony combined made $2.4 billion in the first half of 2018 from all the streaming services, up by $635 million the previous quarter. And so that just, like, it cements a lot of things. A, we really need to tax the rich. And B, streaming is really here to stay. Like,
we need to tax the corporations. We need to get rid of those loopholes.
Yeah. Oh, God, they make so much money. But yeah, these are the... Also, Universal Music Group's numbers only include 2 days of Scorpion. So, like...
Oh, wow. So that... And that made stupid money.
Yeah. I mean, it made stupid money in the first 2 days, but, like, it's gonna make
stupid more money. But it's gonna make stupid more, because especially with that stupid fucking challenge.
Yeah. I don't... Oh, anyways, I can continue the next story and then put it back in. But there's also, we talked about this a little bit before, how you have the fake playlist wars, where you have playlists of fake artists that are kind of just populating. They're like populating the playlists, that are, the curated playlists that are on these different music platforms. And so there was a while ago where Spotify had a bunch of songs from fake artists that were just like racking up a bunch of money for the people who are running these playlist mills, and they were just doing it generically. And so Apple Music has decided, oh, two can play at that game, and Universal Music has decided, wait, scamming people out of money, let's I'm all in that shit. And so Universal and Apple Music are coming together to create the Peaceful Music playlist in Apple Music. It's like blue with two shades of blue and a little wave through it, because Apple. And it's basically the exact same idea, where you have a bunch of artists who've like are just releasing things under different names, or they're just non-existent in general, just raking in money for record labels by creating these playlists.
So it said, like, draw your own conclusions from what we discovered. So I'm trying to understand this. So it said Spotify is playlisting every one of these tracks in key first party lists. What does that mean?
Right
there. First line.
It means that it was putting all of these, like, kind of iffy songs in the top playlist. So, you know, when you open Spotify and it's like,
well, yeah,
browse, what playlist do you want
to
listen
to? Well, because I know, I see Peaceful Piano because I'm a pianist.
Right.
So I listen to it every once in a while.
So yeah, and so songs in that playlist, for example, will be put in there by the music record labels, and they won't really be, like, pianists, per se, or, like, real pianists you can, like, dig into their careers or whatever. They're just these, like, one-off songs that major record labels, give to Spotify and say, hey, put these on your platform so they make us money. And so, I know Spotify, they may have changed since they did this, because we covered this story a super long time ago, but this is kind of what they were going through, I guess. And so, it's just another way of putting out a lot of content musically is just how you game the system.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I'm putting in this story now because this is the one I really want to talk about, but it's not in the rundown. Basically, this is another, like, this is how the music industry works now, which is fascinating me. 99.99% of the US population didn't buy Scorpion.
Holy shit.
In the first week,
oh my God.
In the first week, Scorpion sold pure sales 29,000 copies.
The fuck?
To go platinum, you need your record to sell a million.
Million.
That's 29,000. Yet, Drake is still rapping about his Rolex that has a nice battery in it because it doesn't matter. Streaming kills. And his song, like, his album is on all the streaming platforms, and that's how people mostly listen to music. By the way, you listen to the radio, and 19 out of 20 songs are Scorpion songs.
Yep.
And so he's getting his revenue there. And so I'm bringing up this story not really to make... The only grand point I'm making is this. Buying albums basically doesn't matter anymore.
No, it really doesn't.
And it's been a long time coming, but it's like, this is the point where I can say, This is the...
It doesn't mean shit anymore.
Yeah. This is the quote-unquote most popular album of the year, and yet still, like, sucks.
So, yeah, that's going to be interesting later on when we get big releases, and especially at the end of the year, we can kind of see the total amount bought. And we can see the hipsters who love buying shit too.
Yeah, the hipsters will always keep like vinyl and everything.
Like I'm gonna buy like 1975. I'm gonna buy some vinyl this year. Yeah, like that's just what I do.
Yeah, and so
because I'm a dirty fucking hipster.
Yeah, and so that part of the music business is going to be driven mostly by fans.
Yes. So we're gonna see real fans versus fake fans.
I mean, yes, but all
I'm
in
just
all,
joking, what, because I mean, Drake's bullshit.
You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
But the bigger thing we're going to see out of that is just how. I guess how the dynamics and the incentives within the music industry change, because we're already seeing that with the fact that these songs are super long now.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of like, albums are super long. We're starting to put new releases into playlists because, as we just talked about, playlists just sort of that's how you make money as a record label, by putting things into playlists, because that's where people kind of get their main form of curation. But yeah, the mechanics of how all these social media networks, I love it. It's fascinating. It's cool. But last Mac
song.
Miller.
Or last song, last album.
Last album. 13 songs, 58 minutes. This is a Mac Miller joint. He hasn't released an album since 2016, yeah. Divine Feminine. This is 13 songs, 58 minutes long. Really similar to most like Mac Miller albums in size, yeah. I guess. But I haven't heard anything like Mac Miller in a while. So this was a bit of an interesting treat. What did you have to say about it? Because we almost talked about it before we went on.
Yeah, it's just nice to hear. We know we always talk about the genre hip hop and R&B. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, that's so broad. This is literally hip hop R&B.
Yeah.
Like, this album is that genre, if you can make it into one thing. And you do not hear that in 2018. All you hear in 2018 is trap. And yeah. Stupid.
Slightly slower trap.
And
slightly slower trap is R&B.
Yes, exactly. And this is full R&B, finally.
Wow. Trap without the snare and the hi-hat riffing is just
yeah,
that.
And the whoo, whoo.
It'll still have the ad-libs and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, so this was kind of nice and refreshing, as we haven't heard this in a minute. And overall, I genuinely like the album. I might have listened to Mac Miller before. I don't fucking remember what his other stuff sounds like. It's been a minute. Anyways, this is kind of standard R&B, so which I like, genuinely like. And so the whole album, I go, okay, I feel it.
Right.
There's no starfuck, nothing. Let's see.
Capital letters at the beginning of the words is God himself intended.
yeah, exactly. Starts off strong, come back to earth. I felt like the whole album was solid from top to bottom. It wasn't like, no part really felt that weak to me, but it wasn't, nothing just really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Either. It was pretty standard, as I said earlier, standard R&B, where it basically felt like you were climbing a hill that had a 5% gradient the whole time. So you're just like chilling. You're just like this. It wasn't like, holy dick, so then go back down. It wasn't like this. It was just steady streaming. Like, Ken, I want my numbers. You better stay steady on 2 hours. Get the metrics. That's what this album was.
Shout out to Sean's racing coach who definitely listens to Audio Phase.
I really don't want Ken to listen to Audio Phase.
Please don't.
Please do not listen to Audio Phase. What do you do Sundays? Rest day. If you watch him put podcasts now on my fucking Training Peaks.
Watch him put run after the podcast.
You talk too much, run, bitch.
But, so that what you kind of got to, that like there's not really an album you'll remember. Not really a song you'll remember in this album. That's kind of forgettable, I guess, is about how I felt with it. And this, you're reading ahead, don't have that much fun. But here's how I listen to the album. And I usually equate albums in that same like kind of hill gradient kind of way of,
yes.
Are we on a smooth ride or are we having ups and downs? The album was really mellow, I guess, compared to literally everything else we reviewed this week and most of everything else that's come out this summer. It's that kind of rap, because it's like blending hip-hop and R&B. It's that kind that's a little more like, emotional and personal and feels like it's got like feeling to it.
It's got emotion. And it's not, it didn't feel fake either. It wasn't that Drake, I have feelings, but I'm a fake Jamaican on one side and then I'm gonna make a 3-hour album on the other side bullshit.
Right, and he's been known to, like, I've totally forgotten that he had done a, I had purposely forgotten that he did a song with Lil B, but he also did a song with Little Dragon. And so like—
Oh, Little Dragon, okay.
Yeah, he's done a lot of experimenting and trying to find like a new way to really accentuate that voice that he has. But the thing is that even on an album with 13 songs, this ended up being the longest feeling album I listened to, YG notwithstanding.
YG, by the way, gets USS Akron 73 dead.
YG's the Hindenburg, dude. Like, I don't give a fuck.
The Hindenburg only had 38. This one had fucking 73 killed. USS Akron. That's YG.
Shout out to LeBron. Shout out to LeBron. Jesus. But, as around Ladders, I would say, or Small Worlds, which was song 8, I was like, I don't need to listen to any more of this album.
Yeah.
It just didn't really give you much more from there.
The album will be forgettable.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But it was kind of refreshing in its own way.
Yeah.
In the world of 2018. But in the world of 2018, you have to make something pretty damn spectacular to stand out because there's so much good shit out.
Yes and no. I mean, like, when you get into the realm of good, like, it's hard to get into the realm of good and then, well, it's difficult in the sense that we're not coming across a lot of things that end up being mainstream. We kind of have to like dig a little bit deeper below the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no website, save from a couple of electronic artist websites, that mentioned anything about Rez whatsoever.
No.
And like, I get that. Everyone's going to feel like, oh, well, I have an artist that I really love that isn't mainstream, that didn't release an album, that released an album and no one covered it. And like, that happens. And obviously we do it too, because there's more music that comes out than we can feasibly review. But that being said, it's harder to break through the mainstream with something good, and it's really easy to break through the mainstream with something safe and generic and bland.
Yes, yes.
Once you get to that point where you've broken through the mainstream, which I believe Rez kind of has, and you get to the point where your music is good,
like the 1975 line, as I call it, where you make songs that are good for the general public, but you stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
Which is very fucking hard to do.
Yeah, and so once you transcend that, that's where the art comes in. Because then it's a battle of like, okay, now we're playing like the finals or like the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the best of the best. You're no longer playing that, oh, it's doing something.
You're not playing the Arizona Coyotes, you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right.
Sorry, Yotes fans, y'all suck.
I understand this sports reference.
He actually he low-key does. I made him watch a lot of Penguins
vaguely.
Hockey.
I know the Penguins are the better ones.
Damn fucking straight. Yotes are dead.
But Las Vegas forever.
I know. I'm so pissed that the Caps beat fucking Vegas. Anyways.
We always like to end audio face.
Well, we didn't fucking grade it.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I called the other one the Hindenburg.
So I'm calling this solid La République. 25th September 1909, French Army La République killing 4 people. So it's like, it's an accident, but it's only 4 people, so you won't remember it.
I'm gonna do US Navy Blimp K-11 off of Santa Catalina Island.
I thought about doing that, but I already did Santa Ana, so.
Yeah. I mean, I got a Catalina Island, and that killed 7 out of 10. And I mean, this is like a horrible ranking system. I can't really compare these like blimp deaths to albums, but that's the point.
Yes.
And now this is gonna sound even worse, but like forgettable. I'm not gonna come back to it. It's not gonna be a like thing or point of reference.
No.
I'm going to constantly mention. It's like, fun fact. But like, that's the thing with Mac Miller for me. It's never been like groundbreaking. It's just pretty good.
It's good. It's solid. But again, we have stuff that came out earlier, like Preoccupations album and MGMT, Gorillaz, whatever, and just in the whole scape of the year.
Right, yeah. There are things I'm going to remember when you say 2018 music.
Like last year, there's stuff that we remember, like the horrors. Boom, that's the media, I think, of 2017. Horrors have been staples, whatever.
Right.
And there's a plenty of albums we did last year that I go, oh shit, totally forgot.
Without warning.
No.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about albums you remember from 2017.
Fuck yeah, without warning, because Ric Flair drip go woo on a bitch.
That's amazing that you love that.
I hate myself, but I love that song.
He hates trap and loves Ric Flair drip.
I hate trap, but Without Warning goes hard because it's the line of generic. But we'll talk about that on another episode when we talk, which is going to be next, or 2 weeks, because August 17th.
We're doing an episode next week. Don't get me wrong. We're doing an episode next week. We're not skipping. Yes. No. But like,
in 2 weeks is going to be the worst episode of Audio Face. Yeah. And I'm apologizing now. 2 weeks and a half.
2 weeks.
I'm going to apologize next week too. And I'm going to apologize 2 seconds before it gets bad.
Thank you, Sean, for being really professional in this work environment by submitting your 2 weeks.
Here's my two weeks. So we always like to do fun shit. So Rich Kid's Instagram was hacked. And his hacker wants 750,000 for his account.
Woo!
Get that fucking money.
Stack that paper. Okay, so this started out originally by Rich the Kid's Instagram being completely cleared, which could mean he's, you know, just releasing an album. That's how it works usually. And RIP Rich the Kid 92 2018 was RIP Rich the Kid 1992 2018 was the only thing posted on there. People were confused. He was tweeting out some weird things from his Twitter account, saying, "Hey, at Kanye West, you really suck now," which isn't that word. Rich the Kid tweeted, "Yo, at Nicki Minaj, you need some hits, call me." And so these are kind of uncharacteristic from Rich the Kid, and which is why people were like, okay, this is weird, kind of suspicious. And now we realize, oh, someone's trying to cash in. So,
yeah, this is hilarious.
Pay up?
Pay up. I hope he has to pay up. If you name yourself Rich the Kid, you gotta have dough, so.
Pay up, use one password, use a password manager.
Do me and have 18 variants of one password that no one's gonna figure out.
Do me.
Because it's in fucking dialect.
Do me and never talk about the exact details about your passwords on podcasts.
You can't figure out my password.
I literally have fun figuring out my passwords.
His, there's no way. Like, I just looked at it, I go,
like,
what?
You don't realize, I memorize like 58 character, like digit character sequences.
Yeah.
You're done. Yeah, thanks for playing.
But anyways, that was episode 59, so thanks for listening.
Yeah,
that was subscribe a good to us. If you're listening to this,
if you've gotten this far,
you are subscribed to us. And if you're not,
and we love you for that. We really do. We love.
Oh,
we love.
I was gonna say, if you're not subscribed, then you can eat a sack of baby dicks. But you need to subscribe so that way you don't eat a sack of baby dicks. And if you don't, sure we love you.
And to make sure you keep the baby dicks out of your mouth, make sure you don't get on Alex Jones' bad side because he'll accuse you of pedophilia for no apparent reason.
Yeah, you say you're fucking dudes in the back room or something via taxpayer dollars.
But also, because this is a podcast in which that absolutely does not happen, you should rate us 5 stars.
Hopefully. If we deserve it.
That's the best thing you can say about this podcast is that children aren't sexually abused, which is more than I can say for ICE. Anyways, thank you so much for watching.
I like how the thing you want.
Yeah, I think it's done.
Oh,
we're done.
It's done.
Yeah, so thank you for listening now.
Bye.
Talk to you next week.
Cheers.